dream, my cardigan. Welcome to the land of fame excess. Am I gonna fit in? Jumped in the cab, here I am for the first time. Look to my right and I see the Hollywood sign. This is all so crazy. Everybody seems so famous. My tummy's turning and I'm feeling
hey, everybody. A Jay-Z song is on.
Too busy dancing. I don't want to start the podcast.
I know, because this is like, put the whole song on.
Okay.
And we'll get like, how are you, everybody? We have a great person in the house today. Miss Allie Breen is here.
Hey there.
How are
you? I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm so excited you're here today.
Yes, I'm happy to be here.
We've done like 10 podcasts. We've been talking like nonstop.
I know. We've already gotten all the gossip. By the way, we're going to have nothing good left to talk about.
I know. It's like what are we going to talk about? I hate wearing the earphones. Like, the earphones distract me. So I just like, you know, because every podcast, and I wondered like, why are we wearing earphones? We could all hear each other, right?
It's
like,
if there's ever a clip, but there never is. There's one clip maybe right. In the last 10 podcasts I've ever done.
Yeah.
So they played like, through the headphones.
And I put the music in just so I could hear it. But yeah, I mean, it's funny, actually. It's really funny. So
it's strange.
So you are, I didn't even introduce you. I have Miss Allie Breen here. I've known Allie for quite a long time.
For a long time. Yeah.
And time goes by, like since 2005, maybe before that.
It had to be right around
a long time.
Yeah, it had to be like 2005-ish.
Is that weird, like we've known each other so long? And so you came into the picture, into the comedy scene, like I think like 3 or 4 years, and I was maybe 5 years after I was doing it, and I was like, oh, Allie's such a funny girl, she's so sweet.
Aww.
And you were dating Ryan Reese. Are we allowed to say that?
Yes. Yep. Okay. Go ahead.
And I knew Ryan. Did I know Ryan? I don't know if I knew Ryan. I can't remember.
He was just coming up, but he wasn't very known at that point.
He's friends with my ex-husband. He was friendly with my ex-husband or something. Yeah. Like that. They did Dangerfields together or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, probably. Yeah. Because if you do Dangerfields with anyone, you know the whole roster because there's so few people who do Dangerfields.
Right. I haven't done it in a very long time. And you, you were basically from, I don't really know your background prior to comedy, which is weird. We never talked about that.
It's not, yeah, super interesting. I was, I grew up in Boston.
But you have no accent whatsoever.
No, I grew up in a suburb that didn't have a strong accent. And I was born in San Francisco, so that probably helped. And then I went to school at UMass, and I did study abroad programs through the University of Eastern Michigan.
What did you major in?
Political science.
Oh, so you're smart.
No.
I majored in theater, Allie. I literally majored.
Oh, God, are you serious? That would have been so much more fun.
It was fun, but I was like, all I knew was like how to like do Shakespeare, which I'm never going to get cast as.
I was into theater for a couple of years. I did some camps.
Okay. That,
like, we're performing our camps. And then I moved a lot as a kid. Like, my parents were divorced and the custody agreement changed a couple times.
Oh, that's hard.
Yeah. So it kind of sucked. So when I started getting into theater, I was just talking about this. I was getting into it. I loved the program I was in. And then I had to move. And I was in, like, a fun musical theater, like, improv kind of program.
Oh, cool.
Which was great. I can't sing, but it was still super fun. But then my parents knew that I liked theater, so they put me in a Shakespeare class.
So how old were you?
And I hated it. This was eighth grade.
Okay. So they got divorced when you were in like middle school?
No, they were divorced when I was young, but the custody agreement didn't start changing until I got older because people were like getting remarried and having kids and stuff and things changed. But so I got enrolled in this Shakespeare class and I hated it. So I had a boyfriend at the time. I would go downstairs. There was a payphone that you didn't have to put money into. So I would just call my boyfriend and talk to him the entire class, like the entire time. And then when we went to do the performance, I didn't know any of my lines. So I did know a few, like the beginning of scenes. And then like my friend who was in the play was like, all right, let's cut out all of these lines from the script and like tape them on your arms so you know what to say. So we're doing that backstage. And then I realized like I didn't know the cues when I was supposed to say them. So I needed the whole script. So I grabbed a script and run out when it was like my turn. But I grabbed the script with all of the lines that I had like cut out. I'd cut out like big paragraphs of the script to tape on my
phone. Oh, wow.
It was a disaster. It was, I like ruined an entire Shakespeare play. So
that's crazy.
I got out of acting completely after that.
Really? So you
yes.
basically just got out of acting just because.
Yeah. Well, I didn't like Shakespeare and that.
I know. Like, they always do that. Like I don't mind Shakespeare, but I have this like bad Brooklyn accent. Well, I used to take it away.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't
bad
know.
Bad Brooklyn. Bad. You know,
if you drink, I bet it comes out.
It comes out so bad. But like, it's like one of those things that like, I was like the funnier person in college, and they never did a comedy that was like based or it was always these like farce plays from like, you know, 1850 something or like Shakespeare. And it's good to learn Shakespeare as an actress anyway, but it's like you never really, but when you get out of school, like no one's, there's no, did you one Shakespeare movie every 3 years? It's like, come on.
Yeah. And if you're going to do a play, it's great, but you're never going to make, I mean, if you want to make money, if you're really passionate about just Shakespearean acting, that's one thing, but it's a
tough. Even the plays they do are like modern, like dramas or comedies now, like the good ones, the ones that really take off on Broadway or in regional theater. So it's like, but I mean, it didn't really matter, but still it was a good background to have. And then it's like, ugh, I find Shakespeare and everyone's going to be like, like, oh, don't be so mean, but it's horrifically, awfully boring to do after a while. And I mean, it's good to learn, and the words, you have to look up every single word to understand it. And like, I sound like such an ignoramus, but I love Shakespeare, but I hate it at the same time.
I agree. It's good to learn and to know it. And then kind of after you've seen everything once, I'm like, I'm good. I don't need to keep going back to this.
Right. It's like the same, it's like knowing a really boring song.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, she's not a real actress. She doesn't know Shakespeare. She doesn't like Shakespeare. So then you did acting. So you did a little acting and then you
went a little bit.
You did. Then you went to college.
Yes. So then I went to school and then I traveled a lot in college.
Where did
I did
you
a lot
travel
of study
to?
Abroad programs. I went to, I did these crazy things. It was called the Eastern European History Culture Tour. And we went to 46 different cities throughout Europe and traveled with two professors. Yeah.
So you have a lot of like life experience.
It was kind of. I mean, it's like a whirlwind tour of these places. So it's not like you learn a ton about their cultures, but you see everything. And then I did another one through Southeast Asia, which was incredible.
So what was your favorite thing you've ever done in your tour in that?
Traveling?
Yeah, traveling.
We went to Nepal on the Southeast Asian tour.
Uh-huh.
So we got to go to like, we stayed in the foothill of the Himalayas.
Wow.
Yeah, which was incredible. And we got to do whitewater rafting and like some adventure sports up there. And it was beautiful. And you just see, it's like going back in time because you see like in parts of China, Southeast Asia was great because in parts of like rural China, you see kids playing with like a stick and a wheel. You know, it's just no technology is out there. You would still see, we saw like missionaries all over the place, like trying to bring Mormonism to, you know, the countryside. Yeah, where, you know, it's just bizarre. So
you've been in literally almost every country, I'm assuming, at this point.
I traveled like crazy in college. I kind of realized you could do that on your parents' dime for a while and just took advantage.
So when did you, you travel a lot still for work now. So you're probably, there's nothing going on.
But now I'm going to like Scranton and Indianapolis and not to shit out. They're actually fun
Michigan
places, but Wisconsin.
Some town that no one ever wants to go to.
Oh my God. Any place there's a shitty casino, I'm there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Allie's ready for the penny slot. To the shitty casino that she does her gig. So you did your tour with a college.
Yes.
You tour the world and then you come back and then what happens?
Then, so I stayed a little while over there. My sister lived in Germany. She married a pilot and I stayed there for a little while and then I got a job copyright editing in New York. So I moved to New York.
Okay. And how old were you? Like 22 or something at this point?
23? Yeah, I guess so. I had to be around. I mean, I took longer to get through college, but I was probably right around 22, maybe 23 or so. And then I decided I was doing copyright editing. I lived on the Lower East Side and I wanted to get a job on Broadway as like a bartender. I needed to get a night job.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So I was like, it'll be fun. I'll get a job. I can make some more money. I can see all the shows on Broadway.
And it's so cheap because it's so easy because you don't have to really, no one gets mixed drinks, right? They're just like, they get a vodka.
Yeah, I think it's like wine and vodka. And
like
you get
an
to
hour.
See every, yeah.
You work like an hour before and 15 minutes in between, then
it
you're done.
It seems perfect, doesn't it?
Right.
Yeah. Champagne.
Did you get a job there?
Well, so I walked up and down. I just handed out a resume walking up and down Broadway. And then while I was there, I passed Caroline's. And I walked in and I was like, that would be fun, too. I was never super into comedy when I was a kid, but my stepdad really liked it, so I'd seen some shows. So I went in and there was a guy standing upstairs and I asked if they were hiring and he goes, I don't know, let's walk down and find out. You know, there's the upstairs booth.
Right.
So we walked downstairs and there's a manager in there and he goes, are you guys hiring waitresses? And they were like, yeah, I guess. And they took my resume and they were like, can you come in like tomorrow and wear a uniform that looks like this? And so I was like, yeah, okay.
What do you mean? You know, like a black shirt.
They literally, it was like a blue shirt and pants. Like someone walked by and he was like, just make yourself look like this. So I went in the next day and I started working and then I stayed there. you know, for a number of years. But after like 3 months of working there, the manager, whose name was Johnny Walker at the time.
I know Johnny Walker. I remember
Do you know
him?
Johnny Walker? Yeah. Yeah. He was there and he goes, so how do you know Andrew? And I was like, Andrew who? And he goes, Andrew, the guy who you walked in here with. And I was like, oh, I don't know that guy. He was just upstairs when I was asking about a job. And he goes, oh my God, I thought you knew Andrew. That was Caroline's boyfriend. And he thought that he was trying to get me a job.
Wow.
And that's what he said. He goes, this is such a, like, would you know the stack of resumes that we get every day for this job? Like, he, but yeah, it worked out. I mean, and I stayed there.
How long did you work there for?
For like almost 4 years.
What years did you work there? Because I wonder if I knew you.
I worked there probably, oh God, I never know. I don't
like 2002,
keep track.
2002, 2003?
Oh yeah, right. So it was right around.
I must have met you back
I'm
then.
I'm sure that I did. Oh my God. And I was so like, yeah, I worked there a lot. And yeah. I got to know so many comics and then I became obsessed with comedy. Obviously I got into comedy way later, but yeah, it was right around 2002, I think.
I might remotely remember you now.
That's so funny.
That's so funny.
Cause I knew a lot of, I mean, a lot of people that I knew from there stopped doing comedy actually.
And I remember that specific club, like the waiters and waitresses are really friendly with the comedians compared to other clubs. Like,
yeah, we
knew
everybody
with the waiters and stuff at the time.
And yeah, it was, I remember Russ Maneev was there all the time then.
Yeah, I used to work with
Bill Burr was there all the time then. I got to know those guys really well. Patrice.
The late night, I used to do the prom shows and I used to do the...
Wait, did you ever do Casey... I know you're tied to the Stern people. Did you ever do Casey Armstrong shows when he was there?
No, but I went to them sometimes.
Oh, that's so funny. Okay.
I did Brian Kennedy's show all the time.
Yeah, when I started comedy, I did Brian Kennedy's show eventually.
Yeah, I used to do that, whatever, like Class Clowns.
And it was Dave Annabelle at the time. He became pretty famous.
Oh, he did? Really?
Yeah, he was in Brothers and Sisters.
Oh yes.
Yep.
Right now, show. Now it's all coming back to me. And then I remember,
and it was like a really close staff too. It was and Curtis, it was one of those
Curtis,
yeah, Curtis, Chris Pierce. It was a whole bunch of people, and everyone was so close. But it was such a. I mean, I know every restaurant's this way, but it was so dysfunctional because it was like it was like a restaurant, but then you pair show business with it. And so it's like all the fucked up things about working in a restaurant and then all the fucked up things about like show business and everything. It was so stressful for some reason. Yeah.
Wow. So that's pretty cool. So
it was fun and lucky because it changed the course of my whole life. And it was really, I would have never gotten a job there if I didn't walk in with Andrew.
Just walking down the street.
Yeah. I don't know why. I probably wouldn't have gotten a job anywhere. I don't know why I thought that would work. Just walking down the street, handing out a resume, but it did.
It worked. I think showing up is like a lot to do with things.
Right. Well, people, it's even Helen Hong had told me one time, no one thinks to like cold call a comedy show. If you're going to be somewhere, like I've been in had family functions somewhere, like in Aspen, like in Colorado or somewhere. And you don't think like, oh, I'll just call the comedy club and see if I can get a spot. You think, oh, who do I know that can hook me up, that can like... But Helen was like, I just cold called clubs a lot of times and they're fine. They're like, yeah, come in and do a spot.
Small towns where they don't really have a lot of people there.
Sure.
It's a big, you know, they can Google you and say, oh, she does this. Oh, that's cool.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
I did that in Chicago. I mean, it's not a small town, but I was in Chicago doing a gig, big gig. It was a crazy gig. I don't know if I tell you about the gig I did. I got hired to do Battle of the Band. Like, there was like a Battle of the Bands of all advertising agents. Okay, so it was like agencies, and they were doing each, instead of a softball team, it was like they had a band.
Okay.
So like, McCann Erickson had a band.
Weird. Were they good?
They were, some were better than others. Okay. You know, they were amateurs. You know, but some of them were, you know, there's one or two that were really good, and then the rest were crappy, and the singers were... So it was fun. They were doing it for charity, for, like, homeless people.
Okay.
So it was a giant, 800 people in a rock club. So this one company, rather than having a band, they said, we're going to hire a comic to talk about, you know, do jokes and talk about our company, you know, for 15 minutes. So I could do my own joke and just, like, mention their company for, like, 6 minutes, not even, like, five. Just
right.
Say they wanted 3 points made, and that was it. And then thank them at the end, okay?
Yep.
And they're paying me, like $3,000 or something, like some ridiculous amount of money to do that. And I was like, all right, pay to expect, you know. So I was like, I wanted to warm up, you know, the night before. So the guy who hired me was like managing me at the time called, you know, he actually called the club for me, you know, because I get, but same thing. Like,
yeah, just, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I got
but that helped. That
helped.
Usually is the better
they're
way.
Like, yeah, sure, of course. And I did the, you know, spot. It was fine. But the funny part about the gig was, this is the craziest thing, was that get on stage, okay? So there's 800 people drunk. Because they didn't put me on the beginning. They put me on towards the end.
Right.
So everyone is... they're advertising people, and they're literally wasted. Like, beyond belief. So I'm waiting. They tell me to get there at 7. I don't go on until, like, 10, right? So the band gets off. They announce me. I couldn't even hear the people that were announcing me. I'm like, I'm fucked. Because I'm not going to, they're not going to hear what
yeah,
I
that
said.
Would be nerve-wracking. Yeah.
Get on stage. All right. So I'm like, hey, Chicago. Great. You know, I'm like, great to be in Chicago. And this is a great cause. I start talking like, and thank you for so-and-so company. And all of a sudden, they're screaming, yay. I'm like, wow, this is going well. I'm like, they're screaming. I'm like, but they're a little too enthusiastic.
Oh, no.
Like, it doesn't fit the you know. I'm like, are they saying yay to me? Like, are they excited? I turn around. The band that was going on after me was all in their positions ready to play. And their people were excited about it, getting excited because they're like, the drummer has the stick, the guitars.
Oh.
And they had the microphone, and I'm in front of them, so I don't see what's going on.
Right.
So I'm in the front of the, and I am like, oh, this is great. And I'm like, and this company does A, B, and C, and they do this kind of marketing, and I'm trying to get the jokes in, and I'm like, and I know they can't even hear, I can't even hear myself, I can't hear, I'm like, I feel like I'm in a vacuum. Like,
yeah.
Of nothingness. I'm like, all right, just breathe. And they're screaming for the people. I turn around. And I'm like, hey, what's your name? I start interviewing the people. I'm trying to like get like
anyone involved, and yeah.
But they're like, they don't want any part of it. They just want to play their freaking songs. They've been waiting 8 hours to play, whatever.
Sure.
And, so I kind of like finagle it a little bit. So I sort of just get a little bit of it. Thank you for so and so for bringing me here. Let's hear for this band. And I act like I'm announcing the next band, like trying to like save face. And like I get off stage, and I am like mortified. Not that like. I just feel like, A, they're paying me all this money, and I worked hours writing stuff. B, I'm like, no one stopped the next band from coming on because everyone is too freaking drunk. And then C, like, I'm like, I hope I get paid, right? Like, because I'm like, I just came all the way out here. So then, like, the people that hired me, they were so nice. They were like, oh, don't worry about it. They asked me if I was okay, you know. Are you okay?
I'm as like, long as it's just going well, I'm sure they're happy. As long as everyone's enthusiastic.
Well, everyone, no, it was they paid me to do, they had a 15-minute slot. Like, it's a charity event to do their 15-minute slot and talk about their company, but a little bit, not too much.
Okay.
And then just do stand-up to fill it in.
Gotcha.
So they hired me to do that, which was a great thing to do. But I, you know, it was a dumb. They should have hired me in the beginning. It was a whole
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, right. Without a band behind you.
And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I'm like, I didn't know what to do. And they just handed me. They didn't even ask me for my expenses. They gave me the maximum amount that I was supposed to get. They actually gave me an credit. They PayPal'd it to me at that moment. It was like, they were so cool.
That's
felt
incredible.
Bad. They felt bad because they didn't stop the band from coming on, you know. And I, you know, I, what am I going to do? I'm not going to like kick the band off, like it's not
right.
My job, and I'm not gonna, you know, I said their name as much as I could, and what else am I gonna do, you know? I was like, so I basically went to Chicago, got a spot at the Laugh Factory, collected a few $1,000 and came home. I mean, the best gigs ever.
That sounds great. Yeah.
It was the best gig. I mean, but I felt like an idiot because I was like, I felt more guilty. Like
but
was,
you can, it's true. It's not like that was within your control. So that's cool. They recognized it because I've heard nightmare stories of people who've done corporate gigs where it hasn't gone as planned and it wasn't their fault and the people gave them hell and like tried not to pay them and all
really?
Kinds
yeah,
of
I
things.
Heard that
yeah.
Too.
So,
yeah, I mean, it wasn't even, I said anything wrong or
right.
Offended
yeah, you
anybody
did your job.
Or,
I mean, you tried to.
It was like just, you know, physically impossible at this point, you know, and but, you know, it was also, but I found out my friend who works in advertising is like, that's nothing. That money that they were paying you.
Oh, is nothing. And as far
like,
as their budget
like
goes, I'm sure.
They were, that's like junk money for them. You know, I'm like, meanwhile, that's like my rent plus like,
yeah, that's like a huge payday for.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because I, you know, I do casinos a lot for comedy and like it's an okay paycheck for the most part as far as it's higher than clubs a lot of times.
Right.
But not by a lot
not
anymore.
By a lot.
But I have a friend who's in a band and he was talking about how he does casinos, but he hated doing it because everyone's so distracted. And I was like, oh, yeah, same with comedy. It's like, you know, because people are coming in and going and they've lost money and there's slot. You can hear slots in the background half the time. But he's like, I just can't turn down the paycheck. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I guess it's okay, but it's not that great. And then, like, further down the conversation, he said something about $25,000.
What kind of band is he in?
It's actually, they're getting good. It's like a big, no, it's an original band. But I think just for bands, it's the same thing. Casinos have these giant budgets for, like, big acts. But then they'll also do, you know, smaller shows throughout the whole.
They don't pay comedy that much, unless they're big stars.
And I mean, for a band, too, he has his whole band, there's like five other guys plus tech and like all this stuff, and so you obviously need to get paid a lot more than just, you know, a girl and a microphone.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh my God, like you forget, yeah, how much budget these people have.
That's a lot
have.
Of money for a band.
He acted like it wasn't because he's not that, I mean, they're known, but they're not that known, you
know? Okay, because I mean, I know that like certain, the most money I get paid sometimes at a club situation, non-club situations are the worst gigs.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Gigs or the, and I'm not complaining, but like they'll be like loud and like, it's like they don't, right. They're dancing.
The sound system's not right.
You're
right.
In the middle of a catering hall. It's like the 50th. Anniversary. It's
the
like,
colleges are the worst. For have you ever done one where you have to do a lunchtime show?
I do lectures during lunch. Oh my god! You know I do the eating.
Oh yeah.
Lunch. And I've done some. I do comedy, not that much, but I've done a lot of, you know, hundreds of lectures, and I do eating disorder lectures. And guess when? What they do?
They put it in the cafeteria at lunch.
They don't put. They put it. Well, they serve baked ziti. Once they serve baked ziti during my lecture, and people are, you know, and I vomited, and they're slurping up the baked ziti.
Oh my god.
You know, like, and they're like. And I used to love to vomit that up. You know, they would like cookies. They would have, I mean, it's like, I don't mind. Like, I they eat beforehand. Like, so now I say, like, now you have to take control. Like, you have to take someone. Like, this was riders. Like, I used to think they were bratty.
Right. No, but then no. Disorder, when it makes sense that you shouldn't, you really, can you not serve ice cream sundaes during my eating disorder lecture?
Right. Does it let them have, no, they usually should eat before. They bribe them by eating before. To get into the, to come to the lecture, and then they, you know, you do the lecture and it's fine. But if they're slurping food down, I mean, it's okay if they're nibbling, it's fine. But I mean, I've had it where they've had full course, like, you know, they're just there for the food.
Great,
clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. You have a, so what's like, have you done a lot of comedy at Nooners?
I've done a few, enough so, and those are always the ones where no one knows there's going to be a comedy show, and the microphone doesn't really work. You have to yell at everybody, and
they're
just,
coming in and out.
They're walking right by you, trying to get to the soda fountain. You know, it's like,
I don't know.
It's embarrassing. And then I did one of the worst. It was fine. There was just one bad gig on the run, but I did a military tour in Japan.
Oh, you've done one of those.
I did one. Yeah, it was great for the most part. But the very first show we had. Everyone's like, oh, they're just so thrilled you're out there. It's like the most receptive, fun crowd you've ever known. So this base in Okinawa was, it had been dry. There had been no alcohol because of some incident. And that day, the ban got lifted. So everyone was allowed to drink.
Oh, no.
So everyone's been drinking all day. It's an outdoor show in a tent with like 1,200 Marines who are like,
ooh, they're tough.
They're tough. And they're like 18 to 22. I mean, they're young.
And they're not in a war zone either. They're in
right.
Like,
and they're drunk
Japan,
and they're just having,
which
right.
is a nice country.
Yeah. Know? Beautiful weather. This is an outdoor show. So I go up. I was the first one up and there was a host, but then I went up first and I was like, what's up, Okinawa? And the guy right up front goes, do you suck dick?
Oh,
like, oh, that's how it's going to be.
Oh, no. So what happened? Was it just like,
well,
echoing.
Then it became just a fight because then I was like, yeah, not yours. And then the crowd was like, oh, shit. Like, it was just a young crowd that wanted you to pick on them. But you're not supposed to be dirty and, like, they're not supposed to be yelling at you. And
oh, wow.
So, I mean, you can be dirty to an extent. But so it ended up being fine, but it was just not what I was ready.
You weren't ready
I wasn't
for
going
that.
Into that in the, with that mindset.
Who,
and then
you
it
working
was,
with your friends? Did you work
my
with
friend Renee was on the tour, who was great.
But you want to be with people you like know.
Yeah,
you know,
and then this guy Rudy. I mean, Renee I knew well and I got to know better on the tour. And then this guy Rudy I didn't know as well. And then there was a girl band that was traveling with
oh,
us.
Oh, cool. That's fun.
It was pretty fun. It was a 2-week long tour. And so everyone kind of got on
right?
each other's.
They don't pay very well.
This one actually paid well, but they vary. And this one went away pretty quickly after I did it. And so that might be why I think the Department of Defense maybe realized they were over budgeting it. But I think some pay well, others not as much. But the ones that don't pay as well seem to be the ones that are way more
gigs.
Fun, actually.
Yeah, the better gigs. I've always said the ones.
Yeah, because they're like smaller, intimate venues. Like these were all really giant shows for like, you know, 1,000, 1,200 people.
Music does better with that.
Well, that's what we did, a comedy show, and then the band would go on afterwards. And the music did do better for the most part. But it was
listen.
A really fun show.
That's great.
It was Renee Gauthier. I don't know why
well,
I couldn't think of her name.
The troops. That's good.
Yeah, it was fun. But it was funny because after that happened, every superior officer came up and was like, I am so sorry, ma'am. And I was like, oh, my, it's totally fine. And then I was worried that people
are.
Were getting in trouble.
Right,
yeah,
very, very young.
Definitely.
That's funny because, you know, like colleges have got very PC now. They always
yes.
say that. And, it was so weird. It was like maybe it was 2 years ago. I was in Spokane. They flew me all the way to a community college to do a Nooner in Spokane to do my lecture.
Wow.
And I start the lecture. Now, some of these schools, everyone's out of the school by 2 o'clock. They start, I don't know, whatever it was like, my lecture started too. It was weird, the whole thing. So I start the lecture, and I think it was in between classes. then it was like very little people in the room. Like it was like, you know, 10 people maybe. Then they, like five of them had to leave, and then it was like two left. And then a school came late of special needs women. Like they were mentally retarded.
Oh no.
Like they were. They were like, you know, severely mentally retarded. Oh. And there was like, I didn't know what to do. Like that was like, there was 20 girls mentally retarded, and I had to literally stop telling my story because like I'm and just change it to like love yourself. Like I didn't know what to do. Like I changed my entire lecture because
yeah, because you're like, this isn't something you guys are struggling with something entirely
right.
different.
And they didn't
this isn't
what I was talking about. So I was just being motivational, and I felt so bad. I'm like, I feel like I was in the twilight zone. Now some people would just like do that, keep their lecture and just do it. I'm
yeah.
like, this is not going to work.
Well, that's because you have the comedy background too.
Thank
I think
God.
You know how to change gears. Yeah,
I felt so stressed out. I'm like, what do you do in that case? I mean, I've never. I mean, these are weird situations. People are flying you far away.
Yeah,
and you're in these situations where you're being put in a situation where you're like, what the hell? Like,
it's an impossible situation a lot of times.
That was impossible. And it wasn't comedy, so I couldn't just start doing jokes.
Right. No, that's
so
definitely.
I had to give some kind of message that would resonate with these young women. And they were appreciative, and they got it to some degree, you know. But I mean, also they came into the middle of it. So there wasn't enough people, you know. I was going to repeat myself, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I had to like just switch gears and like kind of get out of the story. And the two people that were there, three people left from the school, you know, the regular
after
school.
The yeah.
It was just like, I'm like, who books these things? Like, you know, yeah,
who
how
does?
Do you?
It makes no sense.
It's like the people at the school need to know how their school. And a lot of times I've had trouble. This is interesting. We were talking about this. So the student will be in charge of the activities board, right? That will bring you in, right?
Right.
And then that person is usually a student. Sometimes the students don't know what they're doing. So like a lot of times they're like, they won't communicate well with your agent, or they won't communicate well with you. One guy was like in the room, and he was, rather than calling me, texted me. Like I was looking at my phone, you know, looking
right.
for me. And then he had the wrong room of where the show was, where the gig, it was just a mess. And like, and I had to tell my agent at the time, like, this happened. I'm like, I didn't want to get the guy in trouble, but he didn't do
know
he didn't
anything.
Follow my rider. You know, my rider is a bottle of water. Like, I'm like,
yeah,
he
if you
have
can't
the
follow
water.
That, there's a problem.
I mean, I changed it, and I used to think it was like riders, like, you know, that's when you have to tell people, for those of you who don't know, it's like when you tell people your specific needs. And I used to think it was being bratty, like if I said I wanted certain things. And
well,
now
it depends on what you're asking for. Yeah, yours would never be bratty.
No, I could be, but I'm not doing that.
Right, you actually put things you need.
Need, right. And like, you, if you don't have those things, your show won't go well, or your lecture won't go well. So, you know, so I would say, and like, you know, they're like, I don't drive, so I need ground transport. Like, that's one thing I need. So if that could be in the budget, they either hire a cab or they pick you up. Like, so like that's something that I always had like a problem with. Cause sometimes like 50 miles from the airport.
Yeah.
You know how many cabs I've taken from like a weird place in like Indiana to like some other weird place?
Yeah, because colleges are never near an airport. It's always like a 2 mile drive through a farm into, or 200 mile drive, yeah, through farms into. It's
into
so
college.
Far. Yeah, yeah. I stayed. There was one college that I played. Really early on, it was in Kansas somewhere, and I just remember that the inn they put me up in had like all these taxidermied animals.
Ew.
All over the place. I know, it was like real like giant bears and stuff. Aww. In the lobby. I mean, it was crazy. I've got to some crazy places.
So what did you do? Like, did you like freak out?
Well, no, it was like staying in a hunting lodge. Like the rooms were cozy. It was just creepy, but it doesn't.
A lot of creepy places out there.
Yeah.
lot of creepy little inns.
Yeah, to the
Norman
point where
Bates.
Now I feel like I've seen everything. So if I really get creeped out to the point where I need to leave somewhere, it has to be so bad. I mean, I've, you know, stayed in.
What's
some
the worst
weird
place you've ever had to stay in, like during stand up?
There was just one place where they put me up in a hotel, and I walked in, and there was literally like, I think it was owned, it was definitely owned by like an Indian family, but like the whole family like
family
lived in the lobby. It was like the whole family was there all the time, like playing games, super
loud.
You know? Yeah.
We do play the game.
Welcome, my friend. We just get
were
super
nice?
Racist all of a sudden. They were so nice. That's why I felt bad. But like I walked into the room and I pulled the comforter off the bed, which I usually do, and just have like the blanket and
the
sheets.
Did you check it? Do you always do the check?
Yeah, I always. Yeah, because we stay in hotels so much, you have to check for
yeah.
everything. And like the blanket that was underneath the blanket had like crusty, like,
ew.
And it looked like mustard. Like it wasn't
wait,
like
where
cum.
Was, what
thank
town
God.
Was this?
It was in Indianapolis.
Okay, okay.
It was. I was playing a casino that I actually isn't. It wasn't a casino. It's What was it? It used to be at the Dave and Buster's.
Okay, so it was like it wasn't attached to the casino.
No, it wasn't. They would just put you up. They would. It was in the rider that they had to put you up. So they apparently found the worst place. And it was so like I went out and I told them, I was like, I want another room. And then in the next room, it was like the same thing. It was so gross. So I just left and I got another hotel
room.
It was weird because like I play Morty's out there too. And Morty's has like a connection to a hotel and they give you like a discount rate or whatever. So I did. I got like a super cheap hotel through them.
Good. That was smart. It was much better.
Yeah, it was much better.
Wow, that's horrible.
It was pretty gross.
I don't like the comedy condo thing either.
The comedy condo can be creepy. Yeah.
Did you ever do the funny stop in Cuyahoga? Well, that was a terrible condo.
No, is that a bad one?
Well, it's known to be one of the worst condos. The club is great, but it's like behind a bar, like on top, and it was like an old lady's apartment, but the beds had like plastic underneath the sheets, how
the problem is comedians who stay at those try to make them gross. Like they'll try to leave gross stuff in the fridge and they'll try to make them. It's gross.
I actually bought an air mattress at the time. I bought an air mattress, slept in the living room.
I used to sleep only in hoodies. So like your hair and head are always covered up. Like everything is.
That's sad.
It is. It really is.
When we have to sleep in hoodies and buy air mattresses, you know our careers are going.
We're wearing hazmat suits to bed.
That's so fun. I mean, sometimes it's nice if they put you in like a normal hotel. I mean,
yeah, and actually, I've been to a couple of comedy condos that are even okay. And like, yeah, some hotels, it's gotten better. I mean, I must say that the bad experiences are far fewer than the good ones. It's usually a pretty good.
Usually they get, even like I said, the Comfort Inn, and it was a Comfort Inn. Yeah, it was fine. It was,
yeah, actually, all of those, like, their chains, they're always clean. Yeah. They're
simple,
but they're...
they have to follow certain rules. Like, we were talking about this, like, certain, like, I don't want to give anyone a jinx, or they say in Yiddish, a kinahora, but like McDonald's, you never hear of anyone getting food poisoning at McDonald's because they'll lose, all their stock will drop, right?
Or like, yeah, which is happening to Chipotle now.
I know, like, what happened to Chipotle? Like, everyone had food poisoning.
Yeah, now, like, you, in LA, you used to go, whoop. Oh, yeah, sure. In LA, we used to, if you went to Chipotle, there's a line like out the door. It was impossible to get food there. And if you go there now, it's empty, until this food thing passes. If it does, I mean, I don't know.
I
it
like
could take
Chipotle
it down.
A lot.
I love Chipotle, but yeah, that whole.
What stuff was poisoned?
They had an E. coli thing happen.
So the whole, all the food.
Don't know how many it was, but it was like pretty widespread to the point where everyone was staying clear of like every Chipotle. So people got really sick. So that stock crashed. But you're right. Generally, that's the safe bet.
Right. I mean, it's really crazy right now. Like, I think I always get, they say with salad, like you can't buy it in the bag because it can get diseases.
I just heard that. Yeah. But it's so convenient.
That's so weird. I know. So I just.
We're such girls. We're checking phones.
No, I'm just checking because I was supposed to call my friend and I didn't do it. I've been like such a. I get like these moods, like I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to leave the house. I don't know if you ever. Like, I don't want to do anything. Like, I just want to stay in the house and do nothing. Like, for days at a time and like just snuggle with snow. I mean, it's not good. I can't do
that. Is it depression, you think? Or is it just. It's also like 6 degrees outside.
Well, which I think it's help. I think it's the weather. And I think it's like. I think it's a mixture of the two. I think it's really like a mixture. You know, I think it's like. I think it's depression. I think I suffer from seasonal. Affective disorder, but the medicine doesn't help, so I still get, I have to just push myself. It's like, I got to just, that's why I'm booking like my show. Like I'm trying to, do this. I'm trying to, I'm just trying to get my butt out of the situation, like.
I always think I want to try Adderall because I get into that funk enough where I just don't want to do anything.
Does that help?
That supposedly like makes you focus and makes you want to do stuff.
Really? Or so does cocaine, I think.
I know. Well, that's what I think. I think it's like the legal version of cocaine, essentially.
But do you like coffee? Like, I drink coffee and it doesn't do anything for me.
Same with me. Yeah. And Diet Coke, I drink a lot of things with caffeine, but it doesn't.
Is it the same thing?
It's filled with caffeine. Like, some people say that gives them a boost, but I don't know.
Maybe we should try it, Allie. What do you think?
Yeah. Give it a shot.
It doesn't work. It won't. It's not the kind of thing that stays in your system for hours, so you take a lick.
Right, and it's prescription, so I don't feel like it's that dangerous. Like, if you try it and it's... The thing is, I think you're not supposed to get to a point where you need it. So, like, you shouldn't take it all the time. But if you take it here and there, I don't think it's bad.
I have friends that take it, like, every day. Like,
Yeah, but they're prescribed, right?
Well, one friend, I think, he's not a comedian, but he seems to take it. I think it's not, he's not like a drug addict. He takes way too much for work.
Yeah.
And then
that's where it's a problem.
I mean, some people, I think drugs like that work really well on very specific dosages and regulated. Otherwise it becomes a problem. I think that's my opinion. I mean, unless you really,
I'm sure that's true.
ADD, you know?
Right.
Like, I think, you know, like, I think Gino has really bad ADD.
Oh my God. He, can you imagine if he has this much energy now when he was, you know, 15 years old? I don't know how. His parents must have gone nuts.
I know. It must have been crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, really? It's like, I feel like he must have been like, I don't know if that, because I developed worse ADD through social media. Like, I read all this stuff and I get more crazy, you know?
Well, it also just prevents, like, I'll try to write something. You know, I have to write a bunch of jokes for this show next week, and I'll like start writing them, and then I check Twitter, and then I check, and then you like are lost,
you don't do
in
your
this
jokes,
no
right.
Exactly, it's so easy to go on and see everything else.
That's what I have to do. Like, I get the same, I have to do the A, B, and C, and I don't do it.
Yeah,
like, well, I didn't, you know, it's like
everything is too, yeah, it's just too easy to get lost in everything else.
No, it's true. It's very, it's crazy. It's like, I just feel like people need to, like, I think I have to go off social media like for a few days, like, and not look at it.
I can't imagine. I just don't remember what we did with all that time.
What did we do?
I don't know.
Like, I mean,
or having a cell phone. Like, I lost my cell phone and I just didn't have one for a day, and I was such
flipping out.
Yeah,
like, I feel like I'm missing out on something.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, probably really not. Like,
right? Or even kids. Like, when you send them out into the world and they don't. I mean, even like my niece and nephews, they all have cell phones. They're 5, 7, and 9. So, like, they can always get in touch with their parents. Like, when you used to send out kids into the world, you had no way of getting in touch with them until they came home.
I know. It's very, I mean, I think that, like, it's, I think that we need to get, like, unplug. Like, it's really hard. I think the only time I unplug is when I take my phone out during yoga. Because at gym, I'm still looking at my phone, right?
Yeah.
And, like, you could always look at your phone. But yoga, like, can you imagine, like, start, you know, tweeting during yoga? Like, it would kill you.
Well, there's all these resorts in India that are, like, aimed at that, where the bare bones, it's like you're not supposed to even wear shoes when you're there. They feed you all like vegan food.
Have you been to one?
No, I never have, but I would read about them. You're not allowed to have any electronics or anything at all. Like, so your body goes into a regular cycle where you go to sleep earlier, you exercise and meditate during the day. Yeah, it's like a full cleanse.
It's expensive.
It is, which is so funny because they're providing nothing. Yeah, they provide zero. It's the best scam that you have.
They provide diarrhea.
Yeah, they have some yoga teachers and like meditation people, and that's it. Yeah, and probably chefs. Obviously,
you probably could do that like upstate or something, or some, you know.
Yeah, there's all these yoga retreats.
Have you ever been to one? Because I'm looking to go to one because I really need to unplug.
There's one, but this wouldn't help you because in the Atlantis and the Bahamas. There's one right down the beach. You can only get there by walking down the beach.
Okay.
So the last time I was down there, this girl, I shared a cab with her, and we were going to the same place, but she had to take a you know, ferry to get to her thing. But she was saying it's a yoga retreat where they give you, like, it's all your vegetarian meals, you do all these classes, and it's right down the street, right, like right down the beach from the Atlantis, which is the opposite. It's like all commercial, all, you know, gambling, all everything.
Oh wow. So you can't, like, well, you be
a yoga place has been there before the Atlantis. It's been there forever.
There?
Yeah, there's little tiny cabins and tents. It's,
oh wow,
very, it's cute. So I went to visit her to take a yoga class, and that was it. But she was staying for the whole week, and she said it's a
Did
big
she feel
recharge.
Good?
Yeah, because the yoga classes are on the beach.
It's
all
fortune, because it's Atlantis.
It's another one. Well, no, but it's separate from Atlantis. It was there before it, so I don't think it's. It's like there's levels. So if you stay in a tent, it's cheaper. If you stay in a cabin, if you stay, you know, it's that kind
I'm
of
not
thing.
Staying in a tent.
I know. That's where it sounds awful. I'm like, I like the idea, but I like a little bit of luxury.
I know. I mean, I get really weird. Like, I'm not sleeping in a tent for more than a night. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And I'm not paying for that experience.
Right. I'm going to pay to sleep in a tent. I get. You know, it's funny. My friend used to own this. I think she just sold it. Her and her ex-husband owned this cabin, but it was like really nice cab, big cabin. And they had like in Woodstock area.
Okay.
Right. Like, and then you had to take a, you know, a little road to get to, you know, it was off the grid. There was no, you know, the plumbing was like, you know, compost toilet. My friend actually built the shower. She took a class at DeVry and built the shower because she's that kind.
At DeVry, they can teach you how to build a shower?
Yeah, she's like a brilliant.
That's
like,
incredible.
She's very good at that. So she'll take, you know, classes on plumbing and stuff to learn.
Wow.
She's like one of those, like, you know, kind of women, you know?
Yeah, like a MacGyver like type of girl. Yeah, not like me at all. I wish that I was that way.
She was, and so she built her own shower. She built her own compost. Well, it was built. She fixed the compost and she got water. She got the lead from the river for the. Anyway,
she made a reality show around her.
It was amazing. I mean, she didn't live there, but she'd stay there on the weekend a lot and during like the summer for like when she taught. She used to teach like certain classes up there for kids and stuff at the camp. So she would stay there for a few weeks. And like, I stayed there for 3 days and I had a great time, but I'm like, I couldn't do that for like more than 3 days. I would kill myself.
Yeah.
And there's no cell phone, but it's so gorgeous. Like, it's just gorgeous.
That's what I think the old, you know, Hemingways and Mark Twain's and everyone used to do. They would go and just write, but I think I would lose my mind. I don't think I could. Well, I would focus less by having to focus.
I was there and it did calm me down a bit, but it was like, it was the person that lived there before her was an artist. Like he was like a painter or something like that.
Yeah.
So I think nowadays, like my brain is so tuned into checking my Twitter, checking my email, sometimes I don't even check. This is the other thing. I don't even check my email anymore. I'm checking my Facebook, Twitter, and whatever that other thing, Insta assholes.
Yeah.
And I don't even check my email. I'm like, oh my God, I forgot to check my email.
Yeah. Cause the other stuff is so much, there's more. I don't know. There's so many junk emails and stuff. I guess everything that comes in is definitely directed at you through everything else.
Yeah. So it's like, I'm like, oops, I forgot my email. Like, and that's the most important. Then it's like, I missed like 3 gigs. So I didn't check my email. You know, those things they ask
yeah, to get
right
a mail. Yeah.
I hate that stuff. Like just, that's why
I never respond to those in time. Yeah. Those are the worst.
I like when people call you and say, hey, Allie, I have a gig for you.
Yes.
You know, like that's what people don't call each other anymore. It's like it's not a big deal to pick up the phone and speak to somebody and connect with them anymore. I think that's what's going on now as well. People do not connect with each other. Like they're not like, hey, do you have, you want to do this gig? Great. I'll see you on the 7th of March, whatever it is, you know, like.
No, you never talk to anyone.
Never. No, they just text you, email you. And I'm at fault for that too, because I'm embarrassed now. I made friends with one of the younger comedians, like in her 20s. And we would text once in a while. And it was well, they're like, oh, let me give so-and-so a call. Right. So I called her. I'm like, hey, what's up? I left her a message. And then I got a text. Is everything okay? She couldn't believe I called.
She was shocked.
I'm like, oh my God, am I that old? Are people not speaking to each other?
It is true, actually, though. Even in relationships, it takes a while to get to phone calls. Now, that used to be the first part of a relationship is you talk on the phone. And now it's like you'll text for a few months before you ever talk on the phone
and
or something.
And even guys that are older, too. It's not just
young guys. Exactly.
I thought it was just like young guys that were like that. Dick
pics are the same with older guys. I thought there was just a young guy thing. Older guys are apparently doing that too.
The dick pics.
Yes. I met a guy at an airport one time.
Uh-huh.
And just like at a, you know, I was actually working. I had my computer out and I had like a coffee or a tea actually and like a snack. And he sat down. He was like a super nice guy.
Nice.
This
looking.
Was actually a younger guy though.
But he was younger.
Yeah. The different one's the older guy that this happened with, but nice guy, nice looking, everything. He was like a cop. So, you know, we sat and chatted for a little while and then like had to leave to get the flight or whatever. And he texted like, hey, I really wish I could have spent more time with you, which was nice enough.
Okay.
And I was like, yeah, you know, da 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 da. And then like by the third text, it was a dick pic.
The third text was a dick pic.
It was so quick. I was like, you've got to be kidding. That was locked and loaded and so ready to go.
And I don't think, I think a lot of people, it doesn't turn us on. I mean, it doesn't.
No, there's
I'm
nothing
a
ever.
And it doesn't turn me on.
Well, unless it's one that you like.
No.
If it's someone you're dating for
it's
a long time
you
and
like.
You're away for a while and you're asking for something, like, that's one thing I feel
dick
like.
Yeah,
dick
you're
but,
familiar with.
What have you been acquainted with? I don't think it's ever going to work. I mean, I guess it must, though, if guys are doing it so often.
I mean, you seem like. It's not like you're like, hey.
That's the other thing. I seem like the last person you would send a dick pic to, I feel like.
It's not like a guy wouldn't want to send you a dick pic, but it's like if I was going to date Allie and I was a guy, I don't think that's how I'd work her.
That's almost never how anyone has.
I think
it's
a few
never...
drinks and a nice dinner would help to get Allie in bed, but I don't think your dick picture would help get Allie in bed at all. I mean, I think it's like the... I had a weird experience because I've had weird reactions to that because... You know, other than guys I've actually, you know, been with or like, really knew really well. But usually they send, like, first of all, I think it's weird. This is the other thing. Like, I was on, like on a dating site. I think it's weird when guys, like, over 45 or have shirts, pictures of their shirts on. But not the kind, like, they're just at the beach. But like,
well,
they're, like,
any
they're
selfies
in a
is weird
in a
after.
Bathroom.
Oh, yeah, like a bathroom selfie with a shirt off type of thing.
And you're over 45. I don't care if you have the best body. It just drives me up, like, down there. Like, it's not attractive. It's just not attractive to me.
Right.
It makes me feel like something wrong with you. Like the guy, something's wrong with the guy.
Sure. Yeah.
Like you're not, it's just Like, just
right, you're not a 16-year-old girl.
There's something a little off about it to me. Like just save it for like later. Like, you have a great body. Like, just put a tight shirt on and take a normal picture. Have your friend take a picture of you or something. Like,
right.
It's not, you know, we all have a friend that will take a picture of us. You know, if you don't, then you shouldn't be on dating sites because no one's going to fuck you anyway.
You shouldn't be around. Yeah, if you can't find a friend.
If you can't find a friend to take a picture of you, then don't bother. And the other thing, I'll tell you all the things that turn me off, okay? This is about pictures, about guys. So that's one thing. Like, holding dead fishes turn me off.
People's weird fishing pictures.
The other thing that turns me off is when people have a picture of somebody, a girl they might have dated, and then they black the girl out or something. That's weird. And guys that have guns in a picture scare me because there's that one chance that you might shoot me. Like, you know?
Yeah, if you are pro-gun enough that you need it in a picture that you're posting or sending out, that's probably overzealous.
It scares me a little bit. Yeah, it's a little overzealous. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm like, I don't need you to see the gun in a picture. Like, it's not going to turn me on. Or you're killing animals, it's going to turn me off. So either way, it's not a good situation. So, I mean, it's weird because, like, the dick picture is not, I don't know where that started, where that originated from, the evolution of the dick pic. Like,
yeah, I don't know who started that either.
Who
I guess that is
started
just...
that, and where do they think it worked? Other than that, it's your girlfriend, you're trying to be kinky.
No, but that's so rare. That's not the normal dick pic, I think. The more normal dick pic is the guys like I met at the airport, that I'm sure that's always his go-to, which is like, what? How? Why?
You know what I think I'm going to do? This is what I'm going to do, girl. Ladies. This is my
Ladies.
Ladies. If a guy sends you a dick pic and you don't know him, I want you to tweet that dick pic out.
You know what? That's so funny. I lost my old phone, but I thought about doing it. I was going on a radio show right after it happened, and I was like, oh, so close.
Ladies, we should have a dick pic. Like, not your boyfriend, some guy like you're into and you guys do sexy stuff. Like, if that idiot like Ally met in the airport said do dick pic, that shit gets tweeted out.
Or send one next time someone sends you one, keep a good one on your phone and send them back a better one. be like try again.
Say, like, I this was a guy that I liked me. He was much younger and he was like a guy who was in a band. He did a really weird thing. He sent me a video of him, you know, touching himself. But it didn't look hot. It was like his penis looks so bizarre. It was like I always think about this penis and I get if I ever want to turn myself off, I think about this guy's penis. And I was like, it was like,
sure, that's not what he intended.
It was yellow and it was like, it wasn't quite hard, but it was like it didn't look like a, it didn't look healthy to me. It looked like if you can imagine a sick penis or a sad one, that it was a sick, didn't look right. Not diseased or anything, but just
sad and sick penis.
A little jaundiced and like, not so big, but not yet so... It didn't look like it could please anybody. And
I saw someone jerking off on the train one time, and that was what it looked like. It was like, really, he was making an effort. It wasn't
like
going well, where I was
penis.
Like, why? Yeah.
Heroin-addicted penis.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. I was like, that's not working out for you, and it's not pleasant to look at. Just don't.
It's not doing it. I mean, that's a sexual dysfunction, I think. Like, you can't control it. I guess you're homeless. Maybe. But you jerk off. But there's bathrooms.
Wait, but the guy who sent you the picture, you knew this guy?
Not well.
Okay.
Not well. I never...
Then what do you say after that? I mean, if it's a guy that you're actually talking to,
It was weird. It was weird to me because it was like... It made me not like have any attraction. It took away all the attraction.
Any little bit that might have been there. Yeah.
And it was like not sexy, and we never had sex before. We never even saw his penis before. So it was like, what are you doing? You know, it was just bad game.
Yeah.
It was bad game. You know what I'm saying?
It's also so disturbing to me that like, that's probably been sent out. That's stuff people keep on their phone and keep sending out. You know, it's not like, I just took this impromptu picture now.
It wasn't a picture. It was a movie. It was a mini film. It was a short. No pun intended. It was a short. I was like,
you should have written back. Are you submitting that to Tribeca? That's a... you're quite the cinematographer. Wow.
That's so funny. It's like,
I had a friend who actually, her boyfriend, she had like a video of him jerking off and she would watch it all the time. Like, she liked it.
She liked it. Well, yeah. If it's your boyfriend, it's different.
Yeah, it's totally different. And it was like a good, yeah.
No, if it's your partner.
It wasn't a sad, sick dick, I don't think. It was like, yeah, I think she liked it.
If it's your partner, I think it's a whole different story.
Yeah, totally. I think so too.
But if it's some strange guy that you meet in an airport or a new guy you meet at a bar, it's like, don't, that's like bad game. I think.
Yeah. And it's so common. That's what's so weird.
It's like, this is like, but that's an act. That's almost like flashing somebody.
Right. Like, I wonder if guys talk about that to each other. If a guy will be like, yeah, I just sent a girl this dick pic, or if they're doing it in shame, you know, if they're like huddled up, like, you know, hiding it, if it's a secret thing.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't get it. Like, I mean, there's so many fetishes and so much sex addiction out there, like now with porn, and people watch porn, like, and they can't have real sex. That's another problem people have. Because porn is free now.
Yeah.
So someone told me, I don't know who told me this, if you're paying for porn, then you have a problem.
Oh, that's what the problem is now? If there's not enough free porn out there for
so
you?
No, you've had so much free...
gotten through all the free porn pretty much to the point where you need...
Who told me that? I can't remember. Someone told me that the other
night.
Well,
it has to be... The people who are paying for porn, I think, have to be the ones with the real fetishes. Because, like, any porn is out there, but if you really have a specific type you want, there's probably a site you need to join.
Right. Like, you
that's
like
gonna fulfill.
Asian women with, you know, dicks or, you know... Or
something. Yeah.
Or like women with giant boobs and no ass, or like, you
know. Right, like something really specific.
I mean, and then that whole thing with the specific thing, like, then how do you go into the real world and like only date women with like these, or whatever, you date with weird thing?
Well, now there's gonna be virtual porn, so it's gonna even go one step higher, where it's like, if you can stay home and have virtual sex with a Playboy bunny, why would you even go out and date in a way? You know, it's going to become
how? Other than a machine?
I did this radio show where they were doing virtual reality stuff, and they were saying porn's the next big thing in that,
well,
but I don't really know.
Something is different than actually, I mean, you can't.
But it's different in the way, like, obviously no one's touching you, but you feel like she's right there. Like, instead of watching it, I think, in your world, because it's like being in 3D essentially, and so it's like someone sitting right next to you, so it's just that much more powerful.
There's
no feeling, though. It's just,
so you're feeling, you're touching yourself, but yet
maybe being like at a strip club essentially, where there's just people like right there within, you feel like you can touch them, but you can't, I guess.
So it kind of it's like almost like porn, but it's not really,
but it's a little over, it's more. That's a little more real.
That's what we need. So we have no worse relationships than we
already have. I know, exactly. It's just going to crash down.
It doesn't make... I don't know how... I mean, I guess men... It just... And it also plays into a lot of men who don't want to be intimate. So it just creates, like, more lack of intimacy.
Well, and then also, this isn't porn as much as just online dating. It's so easy now to meet people who, like, share fetishes or have any... you know, desire to just like hook up. So all those shows, like, I always watch those shows like Snapped and stuff, where like the couples that's been married for like years, all of a sudden one snaps and kills the other. And almost always, like, if it's the guy who kills the girl, he has like an online dating profile, and he just is
really?
Like, yeah, he's like, this didn't exist when we got married, and now I'm missing out.
Oh, they resent the wife so much. Right?
Yeah, I think so. And right. Like the wife's just in the way from like all this.
It's like, and then I don't, it's like really like, and then the other girl doesn't know he's married, right? So that's a mess. Then he ends up being a killer.
Yeah.
You know,
and there's always like insurance money involved. I don't ever understand what makes, I mean, that's, it's always normal seeming couples, and one of them kills the other. And the
women kill.
It's terrifying.
Because they feel like they've been abused, I think, a lot of times. Most of the time.
Yeah. I mean, some women, it is just that they meet another guy and then they want the insurance money from their husband.
And they never get it. Like, no one ever gets the insurance money.
No, they get found out every time. Even the one way that seems to be the way to do it is antifreeze. Like, everyone's like, oh, antifreeze is undetectable. But then inevitably, everyone's got, like, computer,
right,
like, research things on it. Like, it's just...
That's so weird. People are so disgusting.
People are crazy.
I'm glad I got divorced before Tim killed me, actually.
Really, you guys are one of the few people who are still doing it the right way.
I know. We had, like, a rather amicable divorce. Like,
Yeah, that's almost impossible these days.
I mean, it wasn't, like, the most pleasurable thing. But, you know, I realize also, like, a lot of people that have divorces, like, a lot of people sort of, like, you know, they either have a really amicable or it's really awful. Like, it depends on what the money is involved and stuff. So I'm glad that we had a decent one, but it could have been a lot worse, you know?
Yeah. That's the thing, where there's kids or a lot of assets and stuff. That's where it gets trickier.
I know. It's really weird. Like, I'm glad that didn't happen. So do you ever want to get married, do you think?
I used to say no, because everyone in my family's been divorced and my mom's been divorced a lot. And I grew up, you know, with step parents and like a foster sister, and just things were crazy. And I just didn't see myself living like a normal life like that. But I'm starting to change my mind, I think.
Like, what do you mean?
So I've always just wanted, I've always dated one person seriously. Oh, I've never like really done like the single thing where like you're hooking up a lot or like going on a lot of dates. Right. I always like meeting one person and being with them. And recently, like I went through a breakup that was kind of eye opening because I liked this like kind of life that we were building at the time. And then it went away. And I was like that, you know, the next guy that I met and started dating was basically talking me into it, was saying he was like, and this might be true. I think you want to get married. You just don't want a wedding. Like, I don't want like the big showy thing.
It was, I felt like I literally was doing a play. Like, I didn't feel like I was in my, like, didn't feel like,
yeah, Tim kind of wanted it more.
I mean, I don't know if we both kind of got into it. Cause once you start planning, you get into it. Just, it's like anything else. Like once you start doing it, cause oh, it's fun. And you know, $50,000 later, you're like, what the hell did I spend all my money on? But it was like fun. Like it was a really fun time, but it didn't feel like love. Like it didn't feel like, for me, it didn't feel like that was the day that we celebrate. Like it just felt very impressed.
Yeah. I like things so insular too. Like
it didn't
feel
intimate. It felt like I was performing.
That's what
I do
exactly.
I do that for a living. I've been doing it since I'm a kid. So,
it's not exciting.
I felt like I was in Tony and Tina's wedding, like kind of thing. I did. I felt like I was in like some kind of drama.
Like I think what I would do, you know, is I would like go to some island and literally, and not like a destination wedding. I think I would literally just with, you know, the guy that I'm marrying, like have,
like a small
that would
thing.
Be sad. Like that sounds so sexy to me. Like just a week together where nothing you like,
that's the best thing to do.
Oh, that's the best thing where it's like on a beach and you have every single minute together and you get married and it's like just between the two
and
of you.
You have a good time.
And you have a great time. Yeah. Cause that's what it is. I just don't get the whole, and that was the other thing that always was weird to me. It's like, like, I don't get who invented marriage, because that's the other thing. When you fall in love, who's like, all right, let's bring the state into this. And, like, let's sign everything. So I've never understood that part of it. But,
I think it's the only part. It's like the reason why when I was separated with Tim, we didn't get divorced yet. We were, like, on this, like, we were avoiding the divorce. So someone said to me, my guy friend said, well, if you, God forbid, were in the hospital and there was a plug to be pulled, guess who's in charge of that? Not my parents, who I'm very close to. My
now a estranged husband who might hold a grudge.
Right, exactly. And you know, like I was thinking about that and I'm like, you're right. I mean, and on so many other levels too, like if something happens, like, you know, even briefly, he'll take over our property or whatever, and legalities involved, you know. So,
and that's actually probably why now I'm starting to want to get married, because now as you get older and like you have like more assets and you have more things you want to share with someone. And so now I'm like, I really do think I want that, but it's really been like in the last couple of months that I've started thinking that way. My whole life been like anti-marriage.
Cause you had a lot of divorce in your family.
Yeah. And I just never understood it, because I always think like you should be with someone as long as you want to be with them. And then you should always be able to leave if you need to leave. Like it seems so weird to be like, no, you are contractually obligated to stay, even though.
Right. I mean, I guess it's just figuring out like, split. I guess it's like really a legal thing with assets and stuff. That's what it is. I mean, and like, yeah, with like medical care
and with kids, especially, like, you know, it used to be
co-parenting
really taboo if you didn't have married parents and stuff. Now it's definitely more accepted.
People do it all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's not even, people don't get married, you know.
So, but I mean, the big wedding, I really don't. But I think you're right, because same thing, like performing all the time. It's like the last thing I want to do is have like some big performance for that.
Yeah. Like it's like, and you know, it's I had 10 bridesmaids and
wow.
I mean, it was really a big wedding. Like it was huge.
Did you get married here in Long Island?
Crest Hollow Country Club.
Oh, nice.
It was like one of those Long Island.
The Long Island weddings are great. They're my favorite to go to, because it's literally,
it was a food fest.
It's a food fest. Like I've never seen.
The food was good. Drinking. It was like,
every time I've gone like halfway through the food, I'm so stuffed and I forget there's like a whole sit down meal that's already, you know, coming afterwards.
Yeah, we had a great thing. We had a great, and then we had a great DJ. We didn't do the band thing because it was too expensive. It wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
And then we had a candy cart at the end after dessert. It was fun. I mean, we had a really good time. I mean, I have to say, like, the wedding was really fun.
But I bet.
I felt like, again, like I don't remember any of it. Like I can't remember it. Like it's almost, I didn't even drink really.
I think everyone has, because you're so stressed out at making sure everyone else is having fun and all that kind
money
of stuff.
I spent, we had limos that took everyone from the hotel to the, you know, everything was planned out. It was fun, but it was like, it was a lot of money. And it was very, you know, for me, it was a very glamorous wedding, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'd ever do that again unless I had enormous amounts of money. But I don't know if I would do that again either. Like,
right.
It's not worth it. I would just have my closest people and that's it. Like, I wouldn't start inviting, you know. I like parties anyway. I always like parties, but I don't want that kind of thing again. I mean, that's my second. whatever. My, my second marriage. Okay. My third. I mean, there are people that have been married 3 or 4 times.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, like, definitely. That's crazy. But I don't know how they do that, you know?
I don't know either. There was someone. Why bother? Bob Levy was just. Isn't he four in or something?
Bob's I was just third. Talking about it. Third,
okay. Yeah.
He need like Bob like needs a woman, you know. To take...
That's what right. Some people have that where they feel incomplete.
Well, they can't. They need that grounding.
Yeah.
Or else they'll go nuts. Like, I mean, I think that a lot of my friends aren't married. Like all my friends, a lot of my friends, 35, 50, they're not married, and they've never been. So it's interesting to see.
It's
that.
Changing. We're absolutely. Changing.
And like they don't have kids. Like a lot of my friends don't have kids.
Yeah.
I have the kid friends, and then I have the non-kid friends. You know.
Yep.
So I think that's changing as well. So. I think life is changing, you know, a little bit. So we can do whatever we want now, right?
Yeah.
And we have to make our own choices, I guess, right? And meet nice people.
Yeah, it's not all laid out anymore.
So we're almost at our hour. So tell me a little bit about what do you have coming up? What are you doing? Like,
I'm doing, when does this goes out?
When probably much. This next couple of days.
Okay, yeah. So I'm going to be at the Joker's Wild Comedy Club in the Atlantis in the Bahamas. Ooh. Yes, I'm so excited. From February 23rd till March 6th.
Wow, that's a long time.
It's a long run, yeah. And then after that, I'm at the Rising Star Casino the following weekend.
Are you with people you know? Are you working with...
No, I've never... I don't know who the guy is who I'm working with. I'm opening for someone, and I'm not sure who. Last time I was there, last year, and I worked with, I think you know this guy, Gemini?
I don't know him well. I know who he is. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because he's a New York guy.
Yeah, I know who he is. Yeah. I think my ex-husband knew him. I didn't know him too well, but I know people that know him.
Okay. And it was fun. It was a fun. Time. Yeah.
Do you make friends there? Like when you're out there?
You can. I didn't really. I had. Yeah. A little bit. I mean, there's so many people out there and you meet them at shows and then you actually meet them out during the day and stuff.
It's a nice little vacation.
It is a nice little vacation. Yeah. I met a lot of people. I hung out a little tiny bit, but not too much. Maybe this time I'll try to be more extroverted.
So February, dates again? February?
February 23rd to March 6th.
Wow.
Yeah.
If you're in Atlantis, check out Allie at the Joker's Wild Casino. And at Allie Breen Screen.
Breen Screen on Twitter.
I love that name.
It's so weird.
B-R-E-N Screen.
Exactly.
And you have a website?
I do. It's just alliebreen.com. It's A-L-L-I. And then my Instagram's also Allie Breen.
Right. You have to, it's good to mark, keep your name.
Do it all. Yeah,
I like Breen
do it
screen.
All.
That's good to know.
Yeah, I like that one too, but I don't know if it was wise because it's harder to find than just my name, but.
But they can find, they Google you on Allie.
Yeah, and it'll come up, exactly.
That's awesome. Well, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for coming on this.
Thanks for having me.
We had such a good time. I mean, we could probably talk for hours.
I know.
But this is so great. Yeah, check me out on Twitter, Stacey Pressman. Follow me, follow the page, the Pressman Hour. I'm going to be doing this more often because I took off for a couple of weeks. Yeah, well, months, maybe. Well, a month. I was doing it like a lot. I was doing a lot of episodes and then I was like tired and I didn't do it, but. Again,
bring it back.
We're bringing it back, girls.
Nice.
We're going to leave out with a little party. And thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Allie Breen, for coming in. Check her out on the Twitter, on the Instagram. She's up on Artie's show when she's in town, right? The next
yes.
week?
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes we're together, sometimes we're not. But
yeah, hopefully we will be again together. Soon.
I know we need some girls in that
exactly, some estrogen.
We need some estrogen. So check us out. Thank you for listening to the Pressman Hour. We're going to leave you with a little Miley.
Club in my taxi cab, everybody's looking at me now. Like, who's that chick that's rocking kicks? She gotta be from out of town.